Hello and welcome to Dawson Speak, a Dawson's Creek podcast. I'm Tracy.
This is Charles.
And we are talking today about episode 11, The Scare.
Whoa. Have I made that sound on this podcast before?
Like once every episode. Yes. Yes, The Scare. Ooh, spooky.
Scary.
Spooky, scary. So, yeah. The Friday the 13th themed episode, which I don't...
It didn't even air on Friday the 13th, did it?
It did it. It aired on May 5th.
Oh my god.
It aired on a Tuesday. That's when Dawson's Creek aired. So it was May 5th. I think they wanted to... I almost feel like maybe they filmed it around then, because, you know, they filmed everything before they aired it. This was the mid-season premiere in January.
Yeah.
So maybe instead of doing a Halloween episode, they wanted to do something like... different, but so that wasn't like everyone in Capeside was celebrating this one thing. I don't know. It's just I can't think of many shows that do Friday the 13th themed episodes that aren't like Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Yeah, maybe Kevin Williamson just really wanted to do a Halloween episode, but he knew his show wasn't appearing anywhere near Halloween.
That I think that might be it, because I, you know, as you probably, I don't know if you know this, Charles doesn't know a lot of pop culture. Kevin Williamson is the guy behind I Know What You Did Last Summer, behind the Scream films. So that like scary kind of movie genre that was really popular in the 90s, you could see a lot of that voice and a lot of those, I want to say tropes, but yeah, tropes, the phone call inside the house kind of thing that Jen gets. That's very reminiscent of what you see in those kind of films. So it's a lot of him developing his voice there, and he really loves those that genre. So yeah.
So, you remember that yarn I kind of had about Scream and then abandoned? I remember what movie I was talking about now.
Oh, yeah. So, Charles and I were talking about Scream, and he got very confused about what exactly the film was. Neither of us has seen Scream, I will say that. I know of Scream because of the classic, spoilers for Scream, classic Drew Barrymore, everyone thinking she's the lead, and of course she gets killed in the first 10 minutes. That was really... kind of shocking for a lot of people. You know, when Scream came out, it's not like you had the internet to really spoil anything otherwise. People went to the theaters expecting to see a movie starring Drew Barrymore. And of course, she dies in like the first 10 minutes.
I was thinking about Scary Movie. That was the movie I was thinking about.
Okay, that's what I was thinking you were thinking of, because Charles thought it was like a parody horror movie. And I was like, no, Scream is like a pretty like serious horror film.
Well.
Yeah, but you know, this... episode is filled with actually quite a few meta references, especially to these scary type films. Like I mentioned Drew Barrymore, of course. Jen says this.
All right, yeah, I saw this movie.
So tell me your name.
Drew Barrymore.
Of course, referencing Drew Barrymore and Scream, who gets that phone call inside the house and then dies. They're watching I Know What You Did Last Summer in the beginning, Kevin Williamson's film. They turn to Jerry Maguire, starring Tom Cruise, a.k.a. Katie Holmes' future husband. So that's interesting. Yeah, I guess before we dive into episode 11, let's revisit what happened on the last episode of Dawson's Creek.
Previously on Dawson's Creek.
You have some raging hormonal obsession for our friend Dawson.
Bite me, Pacey. The neighbor girl dumped you. No one died. Just get over it.
48 hours ago.
So what do you think, Joey? Is there any way we can keep Dawson from coming between us?
He's only in love with one of us. So.
A lot easier than just being the object of his infatuation, huh?
So I want to address this one thing that is frustrating about this episode. Like, the main frustrating thing. Which Charles has figured out by now, but didn't realize it when watching it at the time.
I had a feeling, but I didn't know that was the thing that I was supposed to figure out.
This episode was technically written in the timeline before the last episode. So the last episode, double date, of course. Dawson and Jen go on that really awkward carnival double date with Cliff and Mary Beth. And then the episode being like, maybe we can't be friends. This episode was supposed to come before that.
That makes a lot more sense. Like,
and I don't remember the exact reason why they did that. I think we only know that, you know, when they first appeared on the DVD release, I think they were in the opposite order. But they aired on TV Double Date and then Scare. Like, Double Date aired at the end of April, and of course the Scare aired in the beginning of May. So I don't know the exact reason why they switched it. I've tried to look and haven't really found too many answers.
We should write a master list of questions for Kevin Williamson if we ever get to interview him for some reason.
Well, like, ask him specifically, like, in episode 10 at the 34-minute mark.
Season 1, episode 11.
I'll just be like, what? But here's the thing. Kevin Williamson was not involved with Dawson's Creek for, like, 4 seasons.
Oh, wow.
I think season... I want to double check this. I think he stepped away season 3. I mean, he's still cited, I mean, named as, like, the creator, of course, and then he came back at the end. He wrote the finale. But, yeah, he was not the showrunner for a good chunk of the show.
Interesting.
But, yeah, so the Scare technically was supposed to come before Double Date, which is why, you know, when you're watching it, the confusing thing is, like, Jen and Dawson seem so... normal, yeah. Like, nothing weird happened. And then Cliff acts like he and Jen have never gone out before. Like, it's a little odd.
It's, like, odd. Nothing is really, like, completely timeline-destroying. Like, you can rationale it away. But, because even during Double Date, we don't see very much of the Jen-Cliff date. So, I don't know, maybe it went, like... kind of weird, and this is a second date. That would make sense to me. And
maybe
in this show, a lot of characters have ended an episode angry at each other, and the next episode they're not that angry at each other, so that doesn't really strike me as odd.
Oh yeah, true. There was that Dawson Joey like argument about his parents, and then the next episode they're like watching a movie.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Let me jump to the IMDb. Excuse me, the IMDb summary. IMDb rated this episode quite high. The fans loved it. Out of 182 ratings, it got an 8.5 out of 10.
That's one of the highest of the season, right?
I think it is. I think the highest was like 8.7.
Mm.
The Scare, according to the fan-submitted anonymous summary, in honor of Friday the 13th, both the film and the date, Dawson plays practical jokes against everyone when he plans a seance for the gang to look up ghosts until they're all spooked by reports of a serial killer heading toward Capeside. Meanwhile, Jen is asked out by a friendly jock named Cliff, in which the date ends up at Dawson's house, while Dawson, Joey, Pacey bring along a slightly crazed young woman named Ursula, who is running away from her psychotic boyfriend. I love this summary. Friendly jock named Cliff. Also, their date doesn't end up at Dawson's house. It begins at Dawson's house. They just go to Dawson's house.
It begins and ends at Dawson's house, so it's technically correct.
My
favorite thing about that description is, like, it makes it okay to call you and your friends the gang. Because, like, I feel like a lot of people call TV friends the gang, but I've never called me and my friends the gang.
I do it jokingly. But not, like, seriously.
I feel like... I've never heard you that. I'm not part... Say that. I'm not part of your gang.
No, you're not.
We wouldn't walk down the street snapping our fingers together.
Oh. No. We'd be on opposite sides of the snapping line. Speaking of summaries, and I say this every single time, I'm like, oh, I should read the iTunes summaries because they're much shorter and like they try to be very vague because, of course, if you're watching it, you don't want to be spoiled. But I was looking at the iTunes summaries, and the description for the first episode, like the pilot episode, made me laugh so much. It's literally, it's one sentence. A pair of childhood friends must cope with their emerging sexuality.
I mean, it's true. That's what this show is about.
There it is. That's the scene.
Some other stuff happens, sure, but main conflict. There you go.
Yeah. I also, in my research of like trying to figure out why these episodes aired out of order, I came across this review from this website called DVDjournal.com. And it's a review of the Dawson's Creek season 1 DVDs. It's like just a review of like the kind of the season, but also of...
like the box art and the...
I think like the extras a little bit. Okay. Not really. Like, so this person gave it 3 stars, I think, out of 5.
Uh-huh.
His name is Gregory. He's never seen Dawson's Creek before. But my favorite sentence in this, and I'll tweet this out, and I'll send it to you, Charles, but it's a 3-paragraph... Like, it's a pretty long review.
Uh-huh.
And it's like a lot of complaining, but it ends with... The truly sick part of Dawson's Creek, however, is how about halfway through this groan-inducing first season, it somehow creeps into the viewer's psyche, like a televisual Stockholm syndrome, compelling maniacal sing-alongs with Paula Cole's trickly parasitic theme song, I Don't Want to Wait, and eliciting reluctant and unwarranted empathy for its characters.
That's a beautiful paragraph.
And then it goes on and on. Like, this is supposed to be a review of the DVD quality.
Uh-huh.
90% of this review is, like, trying to understand why he loves this show. And then it ends very quickly with, there are 13 episodes packed into 3 discs. It's presented in this ratio and this audio. And then the last sentence is, fold out digipack and paperboard slipcase. It's just an amazing review. I have to share it with everyone. It's so funny.
Once you get into partway through season one of Dawson's Creek, it just consumes you.
As Charles has learned.
You must scream, but you have no mouth. I'm pretty sure I said that backwards, but...
All right, so we're like 13 minutes into recording. Let's chat a bit about the actual episode. So, I don't like scary movies. Like, I'm a very jumpy person.
Yeah.
So watching this episode, even though I've seen it before, I remember the first time I watched it, I was like, does this become like a murder mystery? Like, does Cliff die? Like, what's happening? But... Yeah, I don't like scary movies, but I enjoyed this episode. It was fun.
This is a really well done, scary episode.
Well, Kevin Williamson knows what he's doing.
Yeah, all the sound cues were amazing. Like, the camera work was great. Even I felt like I jumped a few times, and I normally don't even like jump scares in scary movies, but...
Yeah.
Like, it was a good amount of adrenaline.
Do you know anyone, like... who celebrates Friday the 13th the way Dawson does. He treats it like it's Halloween meets April Fool's.
Yeah, that's not a thing. People don't do that, right?
Is it? I mean,
like,
people, if you live in Massachusetts specifically, where maybe it is a big thing, tell us.
But back in my youth, Friday the 13th was just an unlucky day.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like, oh, it's a spooky, scary, like, oh, freak each other out day. It's just like, oh... Don't walk under a ladder, I'll probably fall down.
I feel like if I were Jen and I got that note in my locker, I would immediately go and tell someone, right?
Yeah.
There's a serial killer out there, like, what?
Yeah. And guess what? He was just in Boston. And guess what? Cape Side is 100 miles from Boston.
So that actor who played the lady killer?
Yeah.
I looked up his IMDb, and he doesn't have a lot of credits to his name, but most of them are things like scary... Like, killer number two or something. Like,
he was a stalker. Very good serial killer.
He was, yeah. Did you suspect that he was a lady killer when he approached Joey?
Like, that's what I assumed it was, because what else would he be? Like, he either was the lady killer or was not the lady killer.
Yeah.
Like, that was the role he was there to portray.
Because the scare came after Double Date in Watching, but of course it was written before Double Date.
Yeah.
And in Double Date, you said that you liked Pacey a lot better. He has moved up to your number two ranking of the four. Yeah. Did the scare change your mind at all? Like, were you like, wait, who is this version of Pacey?
I don't like, this version of Pacey is more like bro-y version of Pacey, which I don't love as much.
It's more like Road Trip Pacey.
Yeah, it is Road Trip Pacey, basically. It's like, oh yeah, let's go drink booze and pick up weird women, Pacey.
I made a note on here. It's literally just Jen wears a lot of turtlenecks.
Did you notice she does that like weird thinking thing where she puts her hand like near her neck and chin and like turns her shoulders and then turns her shoulders again?
Speaking of Jen, this is my favorite line from her. This is a conversation between her and Cliff.
Hey, you gotta admit though, the guy does have a sense of humor.
Wait, I have humor.
I know.
That's the best thing Jen's ever said in this show.
It's just so funny. Poor Cliff. Cliff tried hard.
Okay, I wanted to talk about this because Cliff is such a good guy. Like, he knows what his compared to all the other jocks and all the other like guys at this high school, he knows what his inadequacies are. He tries to fix them. He, like, asks advice from people who might be able to help him. Granted, the people he asks advice from, kind of strange.
Yeah, I felt like he shouldn't have asked Dawson, especially yeah. considering if you were watching this on the WB and you just saw a double date, you're like, why is Cliff asking Dawson for advice when they had that, like, awful, like, pissing match?
Yeah.
But, yeah, like... That was an odd decision.
Isn't he great? And I guess Jed doesn't know that many other people, so... He's on the honor roll, according to Grams. Goes to church every week. What's not to like about Cliff?
I loved how much Grams loved Cliff.
Oh my god, me too. I have to imagine that if Cliff were like 50 years old, how old is Grams? I don't even know. But if he were Grams' age, he'd probably be pretty similar to Gramps. Like he would have been a patriotic. He would have gotten in the war.
Do we think that Cliff, if this Cliff's life, do you think he enlisted in the army?
When does this take place? The 90s?
1998.
So probably.
The war began in 2002, 2003.
I don't think he would have. He would be kind of old at that point, like, along his life, right?
Oh, right, because he's a senior right now.
Yeah.
So okay, he's like. He could still enlist. I mean, I know people have enlisted. Late.
But he's like 17 now. 17, probably 17.
I do think that as much as he tried, he really missed the mark with that prank.
You think?
That's not a prank. Oh my god, I would be terrified if somebody did that to me, and I don't think I would speak to them again. That's horrifying.
He's so well-meaning, and he, like, fucked it up so badly. He messed it up so badly.
That part when he calls her and she's, like, freaking out and running around the house, that terrified. That's my biggest, not my biggest nightmare, but that's one of my biggest fears.
I actually made a note, like, a kind of weird note of that scene. If you removed the, like, voice modulation, the conversation's not that bad, apart from the whole, like, he's trying to scare her. It's like, oh, how are you? Oh, Dawson sounds dumb. Oh, maybe I can fix your heart. That's not like, that
in the
bad.
Come on, in the context of it, I would, no.
Yeah, no, in the context, it's really and creepy.
As we learn from Dawson, the profile of serial killers...
Serial killers are typically white males in their 20s. Hello? It's the 90s, you gotta be careful.
So Cliff could become a serial killer.
Hey, he has 3 years to turn himself around.
I love that. It's the 90s, you gotta be careful.
It's the 90s. Were the 90s particularly dangerous?
We were, well, like, Capeside. Maybe Capeside was, like, really dangerous in the 90s.
Maybe. I mean, somebody's dad got arrested for moving, apparently, tons of marijuana, so...
Hmm. Well, we'll hear more about that later.
Major drug hub, Cape Side, Massachusetts.
So Dawson's parents are quote unquote out of town, which is how he's able to have this seance in his house.
They're having
which
a
is
nice
a very
romance.
'90s thing to have, right?
Like how many? He has regular seances.
I think it's like maybe he does it every Halloween or like Friday the 13th. If there's like a Friday the 13th comes around, but like maybe. I feel like having a seance is a very 90s thing, though. Like, you saw it a lot in TV sleepovers or, like, in Halloween episodes in general. And that's outside of, like, Sabrina the Teenage Witch, I think.
Like, Ouija board kind of stuff?
Yeah, yeah. Like, stuff like that. Like, that's a thing that you did at sleepovers and stuff. So,
yeah,
it's a very 90s thing to have. So, maybe...
Was.
I don't think we see another seance in Dawson's Creek, though.
I feel like everyone was afraid of the occult... during the 90s.
Yeah, you like, had a lot of films that were, like, about that, yeah.
Yeah, and that was when everyone was, like, afraid of Dungeons and Dragons and, like, Magic the Gathering and, like, Pokemon were the objects of the devil. Maybe it was just
televangelists.
I still can't get over the fact that Dawson says at one point, this seance is gonna be the best seance I ever throw. Not like those other seances.
He spends a lot of time putting together this seance.
Look at how fancy his seance table is.
I know.
You can't use that table for anything else. You have to sit on the floor to use it. Like, the edges light up for some reason. That's not a good, like, coffee table. It's
if
round.
If you met a random girl in, like, the corner market who was arguing with a boyfriend, would you invite her back to your house for a seance?
No. No.
That seems very odd to me.
Especially after she just, like, pockets a bottle of wine. I was like, well, I'm leaving now.
Well, they wanted that wine, though. There was a, is this slang question I had that she, Ursula, this girl, says.
Oh, it's all right. I love to be scared. My boyfriend, Eddie, scares the goop out of me.
Scares the goop out of me. Is that a thing people said?
I don't think so. Urstel also has, like, not the most normal speech patterns. She also calls Eddie a poop. Or not a poop. A puke.
Well, Abby Morgan said that before, so maybe this is just the thing that the show...
This is somebody's writer's tick. It's like, oh yeah, people totally call people pukes.
Yeah, scares the goop out of me. I'm gonna start using that. You scared the goop out of me.
Boo.
So there's not, like, too many... You know, in the past episodes, we've had, like, A and B storylines. Everything kind of takes place around the seance. Of course, you've got different storylines inside of it. You've got Jen and Cliff's date, which...
Date with little used fingers.
Don't take the girl to her ex-boyfriend's house for a date, even if the seance might be cool. Just don't.
You mean that's not a good first date idea? Darn.
No, that's not what girls enjoy. Don't do that, Charles.
Are you sure? What if I call the girl's eyes incredibly piercing? What's that creepy serial killer say to Joey?
Oh, I don't remember, but that whole exchange was very creepy.
Yeah. Like, he had that exchange so down. It was like his pace of speech.
He reminded me a lot. Did you ever see Lost?
Parts of it, but not the entire time.
He reminded me of Benjamin Linus, if you remember that character.
I do not.
Who shows up in, like, season 2 or 3.
Mm.
Yeah, people know what I mean. But yeah, very, very unassuming, but creepy. Just, like, bad vibes kind of thing.
So he told Joey that she had intense eyes. And Joey seems so taken by that comment. Like, I don't understand.
I didn't read it as taken. I think she felt awkward.
Yeah, but she wasn't, like, it didn't register to me as, like, a complete, like, really bad turnoff.
So,
she just felt mildly uncomfortable.
The way it read to me is something that I think a lot of women can identify with, is when, like, a man is being very persistent at you, or, like, quote-unquote complimenting you, but it doesn't feel like a compliment, rather than acting, like, aggressive or, like, trying to, like, get away from the situation. You have to placate the situation first so the person doesn't react poorly and, like, lash out at you, because violence is always a possibility. So you act like you're fine with it, even if you're not, and just try to, like, minimize your interaction with the person. Of course, it's hard for her to do it because she's sitting in a car and he's standing outside of it. But yeah, that's how it read to me. Like, it's one of those things where it's like, if I were sitting on the subway and this person who I don't want to talk to, like, sits down next to me and starts, like, complimenting my, like, or, like, starts asking me about being Asian, which, by the way, has happened quite a bit, and I, like, don't want to talk to this person, rather than, like, scoffing and getting up and walking away, because that could end badly, I stay where I'm sitting and just, like, either try to ignore it or, like, placate it until I can, like, naturally get up and leave, so it's not like I'm trying to run away from the situation.
It sucks.
Yeah. That's what being a woman is like. So I think Joey has that down. Yeah, that's how I read it. Also, she is really at a disadvantage. She's sitting inside that car.
Yeah. That car that's still running, and she can't leave.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not like if she got out of the car and, like, ran in to get Dawson or Pacey, like, she'd be getting out of the car, and it could end terribly.
Yeah.
If Joey and Jen's prank on Dawson...
That was a really intense prank.
It was a very intense prank, and part of me was like... Would it have been funny? I don't know if it was funny, but if they were trying to get back at Dawson, essentially. Except that all of his pranks have been mildly harmless, right?
Yeah.
It's just jumping out and scaring people, or, like,
It's not even, like, that major scary. It's just like, oh, you're shocked for a second. Like, oh, there's a rubber snake in your bag. Oh, you bit into a rubber finger.
Yeah. Yeah. Faking death seems very intense.
That prank seemed to me like one of those things that you come up as a group of friends to, like, make friend of another friend, or make fun of another friend in the group, and, like, everyone just feeds on everyone else's energy, and you go too far, but you don't realize you go too far until it happens. I've done that a few times. It feels bad.
Yeah.
But it really happens.
That made me, like, I had many points in this episode, like, starting with, you know, the call inside the house once, you know, you figure out it's Cliff. Like, that's not funny.
Yeah. people make a lot of bad decisions in this episode.
They really do. I do think, you know, like we said, it is a good episode. I love talk about Pacey's. He doesn't really have a storyline, like a full storyline in this episode. But there's this thing that Joey says at the end to Pacey while they're inside Dawson's house. The power has gone out.
I mean, your bizarre mother complex is going to get us all killed.
That made me cringe.
Oh, God, that is weird.
It's like, stop reminding us. Stop reminding us of that, Pacey.
Tamara left. I don't want to think about Tamara anymore.
Oh, no. Well, wait for a few episodes. Season 2. There's an episode called Tamara's Return.
Oh, no.
Just letting you know. So the episode ends, though, with Dawson and Joey addressing that quote-unquote prank. I don't want to call it a prank. Where they're like, I would be sad if you died.
I thought that was, like, one of the worst takeaways of any of these episodes.
What, that they would be sad if each other died?
Yeah. Like, come on. They started playing, like, the sad, uplifting music, too. And I was like, of course they'd be sad if each other died. This is a dumb thing to learn. They've known each other since they were, like, babies, basically. Come on now,
Joey. But they've got all of this, like, tension between them right now as they're, like, emerging sexuality.
They have multiple times acknowledged how intense their friendship is. Like,
It's not gonna end well for them.
Yeah, I know.
This season is gonna... we'll get to it.
Okay.
Yeah, there weren't that many, like, reviews on IMDb of this episode that were, like... Oh, no, I read this review the last time. There was one episode. But I really enjoyed this episode. It's interesting and also scary.
Most of this episode took place in, like, the scare cues to me.
Yeah, yeah.
So you get a fair amount of development, but there's just not very much you can, like, comment on.
This isn't an episode that advances the storyline, which is why I think maybe it was okay that they moved it.
Yeah.
Like, this isn't setting up for anything, really, other than... You know, adding bits and pieces to the Dawson and Joey line, and then also, you know, some of the tension between Jen and Dawson, because Jen really wants to be scared, yeah, and she thinks Dawson's, like, leaving her out on purpose.
Yeah, like, it's a very, like, you can take this episode out of the chronology and plug it in, like, at any point between, like, episode 3 and episode 10, honestly.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I think,
like,
so.
Or after Jen and Dawson break up, between then and, like, the next episode, I assume. And it doesn't change very much.
I was kind of hoping that Billy would come back and was the serial killer.
I mean, give Billy something to do. Billy's gone forever now, right?
Yeah, we don't see him again. His character's gone. Okay. What do you think Dawson's funniest prank was?
I don't know if I thought any of them were particularly funny. Like, yeah. The one I enjoyed the most was the finger in the french fry thing, but only because of the amount of ketchup that Pacey uses on his french fries.
That was so much ketchup.
And, like, I'm pretty sure they didn't do this on purpose, but it made sense in my head. Like, he dropped the finger into the pile of french fries, right?
Yeah.
And, like, when the next cut, like, it's a wide shot, and there's just a pile of ketchup on his fries, and I couldn't see the finger.
Yeah.
Like, possibly because it actually wasn't on the pile, but in my head it was because it was just buried in ketchup and it was going to take him forever to get there.
Yeah, I thought that was fun. I thought the snake in Joey's bag was funny just because it's so, like, fourth grade humor.
I know, it wasn't even, like, a scary looking snake. It was kind of a cute snake.
There's this scene in Princess Diaries 2 where Anne Hathaway's character, she's supposed to be riding this horse. And the villains of the movie, you know, they want to spook the horse, and they're like, oh, it gets spooked very easily by, like, creatures that it comes across.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the guards who, like, gets paid is walking alongside the horse and pulls out, like, a rubber snake from his bag and just, like, shows it to the horse. But it's, like, the most fake-looking snake ever. So, like, yeah, that just made me think of that.
Yeah, Dawson's rubber creatures were not particularly realistic rubber creatures.
But I think that's the thing. Even that finger was not... I don't know what severed fingers look like. But his pranks are so harmless that, like, Jen couldn't possibly think that, like, he could have pulled off that scary phone call.
Yeah, that's going from, like, 0 to 100. Not even 0 to 100, like, 0 to 1,000.
That's the thing. The Joey dying bit and then the cliff thing. It's like, those two just went way too far.
Yeah. Like, chill out, guys. Like, throw something at him. Don't make him worry for his life.
Yeah, yeah, fearing for your life is not fun for anyone. Maybe people like that. I don't know. I don't enjoy that at all.
Also, what I thought was ridiculous was how shocked Pacey was by that finger after, like, already biting into it and realizing it's probably made of rubber.
Yeah. Now it's time to play our favorite, next new favorite game segment that we just recently settled on at the last episode. What's their social media status? I think it's hard to say because in the last episode we determined that Dawson and Jen would still be Facebook friends, but they would have Jen would have unfollowed Dawson, but Dawson would be stalking her.
Yes.
This one's a little hard because out of the chronology of it, I don't know. I don't see any of them unfriending each other yet.
No, I don't think it changes very much.
Do you think Dawson and Cliff would be Facebook friends?
Ooh.
I think they would be just because Dawson wants to, like, snoop on what Cliff is doing. And Cliff is, like, he genuinely thinks he's, like, somewhat friendly with Dawson, maybe.
I don't know. And, like, he wouldn't care about, like, competing with Dawson, I feel. Not that loves the competition. But, like, he's not threatened by Dawson, as he's shown through the entire season. I think they would be Facebook friends.
Yeah. All right.
There's one episode left, right?
No, there's two. So we've got episode 12, which is Beauty Pageant. And episode 13, which is Decisions.
Decisions.
Yeah, and I'll say, so when I was looking up the transcripts for this episode, because I wanted to find a segment to clip, and I couldn't remember where it was in the episode, I looked up to see if transcripts, and I found this really nice, it looks like a GeoCity site, but it's a transcript archive of Dawson's Creek episodes. And it used to be hosted on a GeoCity site, actually, according to this top part. But for season one, all of the episodes are named differently than what we know them as. Now, on IMDb, Wikipedia, on the iTunes summary guides, on Hulu, Freeform, they're all like those one-word titles, right? Except for a couple of them. Yeah. But then I looked at this list of alternative names, and I went to Google them, and some of these episodes were listed on like a TV guide or other places as being like AKA or like also known as. So for instance, like episode 2, which is called Dance, was called Dirty Dancing, according to this transcript archive. Episode 3, which was Kiss, the full title is called Prelude to a Kiss. I liked episode 7, Detention, was literally just called The Breakfast Club, which I'm pretty sure they were like, wait, we can't do that.
Yeah, no, we'd get in trouble, I feel.
The next episode, episode 8, which was Boyfriend, is called Escape from New York, which is not really a great title for that
episode. None of that is, like, there's no escaping from New York in that episode.
Yeah, Billy wasn't running away from New York.
Unless, like, Billy represents New York.
Unless that this was referring to Jen's, like, because she reveals.
Escape from Billy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, episode 9, Road Trip, was called In the Company of Men.
A more accurate title for that episode.
What a weird title. It's like, this is not, like, a...
Also,
John Steinbeck novel.
I've talked about this before. Pacey is not on the verge of manhood. Like, he predates that, so he does not fit the men part of the, in the Company of Men part of that title. Billy is old and creepy, but he's a single man. So the episode should be titled In the Company of Man, not on a road trip.
In the Company of Boys. speaking of Pacey... I mean, every 5 seconds, it's just speaking of Pacey. You want to talk about this clip you asked me to cut?
Cabernet Sauvignon, my favorite.
So the funniest thing about this is when he said that, like, I laughed because obviously it's funny. But we've talked a lot on this podcast about how Charles is actually Dawson. But in that moment...
is it better to be a Pacey or a Dawson?
It's better to be a Pacey.
Okay.
But... Charles, and I don't know if you've done this a lot on the podcast. Maybe I've just done a really good job of cutting it out.
Yeah, you make me sound smarter.
Charles can't pronounce words.
Hey, it's not that I can't pronounce words. It's just that I pronounce things interestingly. I made a list. It's a very short list.
There was a last election cycle when John Kasich was still in the running. There was a moment in the newsroom where Charles kept saying, what would you call him?
John Kasich.
And you'd keep saying that, and none of us corrected you because we thought, like, you were being, like, not sarcastic, but, like, oh, he has no chance, so you would just, like, botch his name, like, just to be funny. So none of us said anything until we realized maybe, like, a couple, like a couple of times in, where like, I think Charles thinks his name is actually Cassidge.
How am I supposed to know if no one will tell me, Tracy?
Because we think you're smarter than that. I don't know. They say Kasich's name all the time on television where we were sitting.
That's true. I used to have, it ends up being a lot of French words that I mispronounce incorrectly too, which is really weird because that's what I studied. But
Charles
like,
was a French major, for people who are wondering.
Yeah. Like, for a long time, I mispronounced melee. I pronounced it melee.
Well, okay, words in other languages, technically, I don't consider those as being, like, egregious errors. You pronounce some of the most ridiculous words wrong. I wish I could think of them off the top of my head.
Melee is an English word. It's just French-rooted.
But, like...
Gala. I pronounce gala
you
wrong.
Do. You pronounce gala. That word wrong.
Doesn't it sound fancier when it's a gala instead of a gala? Oh, I'm going to the gala.
I've pronounced words wrong too, and a lot of it has to do with my parents' English not being their first language. I used to pronounce salmon with the L, but I think a lot of people
salmon.
Do. Salmon.
Yeah, a lot of people do.
I didn't know it was salmon until college, because nobody corrected me.
Yeah, English is a cruel language in that, like, if you learn a lot of the pronunciations by just reading and, like, trying to figure it out yourself, you're gonna fuck up a lot of the language.
That's true.
And, like, that's so tragic.
Charles doesn't know the word revelation.
I was gonna, like, just drop that in for a second.
Charles
I was gonna say, all of this has been a revelation.
Yeah, I think you might have said that before on the podcast, and I don't know if I've cut it out or not. You call it a relevation, and this is another thing where you would say it, and, like, we would all look at each other in the newsroom and be like, what was that word? It would just pass by so quickly, but, like, it's revelation.
I've gotten the feeling now that if I just say relevation, if I say relevation enough, like, it'll just... meld into people's brains.
But that's not what the word is.
It'll become what the word is.
When you Google revelation, the first Google says at the top, did you mean revelation? Like, literally at the top of Merriam-Webster, when you look up, like, relevate or relevation, it says obsolete.
Well, I'm just a word hipster.
It's not the same meaning. They mean two different things.
I have a very specific vernacular, part of
yeah,
which is
yeah, it's wrong,
wrong
vernacular. It's incorrect. That's not the word.
But I feel for Pacey. Poor Pacey. He doesn't know how to pronounce Cabernet Sauvignon. I don't know how to pronounce Cabernet Sauvignon. And he's just a teen trying to get drunk.
Yeah.
Trying to look cool in front of this, like, vaguely 20-something crazy woman.
Yeah, they shouldn't have invited her back.
No, they shouldn't.
Especially with the possibility of Eddie following along.
Yeah, Eddie must run really fast.
No, he had a car.
Oh.
Because she got into their car.
Oh, yeah, good point.
Yeah.
Eddie must get into his car and start it very fast.
I want to do a new thing on the podcast where we say who won the episode. Like, which character was, like, the best in this episode?
Grams won this episode.
Yeah, I agree. I think Grams won this episode too.
Yeah.
Every scene even she was in was pretty gold. I loved at the end the way it ended with Jen giving her that note with the little like truck buzzer in it, and it just cuts to black when she screams.
That shouldn't scare Grams. She was in the war, okay? Every time they mention, like, oh, you're lucky Grams isn't here right now in the house, which is like the second time now on the phone call. Because she said that to Billy too, or like she was there when Billy was there. I just think of Grams like during the war shooting someone. I know she was a nurse, but like things aren't scary when you've seen war.
You can still be jumpy.
Yeah, but like, ooh, serial killer. Oh, you're so mysterious. I was in the war.
I bet if Grams encountered the serial killer, she would just bop him upside the head.
But probably, or shoot him. I completely believe in Graham's ability to shoot somebody.
You know, I think that's all the notes I had on this episode. Like I said, this episode is so, like, it's a fun, I don't want to say filler, but it's a little fillery, right?
It's a little fillery. You could delete the episode and you wouldn't lose very much.
Yeah, but it's still a fun episode, I think.
Yeah. Did this episode raise any questions for you, like, about the gang?
I just had a lot of questions about, like, Friday the 13th as a holiday.
Another question I had.
Yeah.
Eddie didn't get through into the house. Like, no. They thought he was climbing up the ladder and into the window, but he didn't.
No.
Yeah, and they were, like, so nervous about it. They were like, oh, the window's open. He's inside. And then cut to the scene where, like, Pacey's at the door, and then he punches through the window and, like, tries to open the door.
I'm sure that's a decent thing. I mean, that's like, a normal thing to think when you're like, oh my god, there's a crazy person outside of our house. Oh shit, my window's open. He could climb up there because that ladder is just... If there's a serial killer, Dawson, put the ladder away.
That, like, you should be putting the ladder away anyways. That ladder has been That ladder has been used for a lot of nefarious things thus far.
Billy getting into Jen's room.
Yeah. And, like, they were...
I think it's a reasonable thing to think, like, oh, shit, I left my window open.
Yeah.
So he could be inside the house, like, if he came around that way.
Yeah. I wonder what that thumping sound was. Was it just him, like, punching the wall? Sounds like an Eddie thing to do.
I don't know. But I also think when you're in that situation, your adrenaline's pumping and you're scared, any little noise becomes, like, a big thing.
What I really enjoyed was earlier when they were talking about the serial killer... they were like, oh, in Georgia, he was in this community where everyone just kept their doors open. So, like, one night, he just walked right into the front door and cut this woman's heart out. And then when Eddie gets to the house, guess what? All of her doors are unlocked, so they have to run around locking the doors.
Well, they don't lock their doors in Cape Side either.
Yeah, but you can't make fun of another community for not locking the doors if you don't lock your doors and you leave a ladder to an open window outside. Come on now.
Yeah. Also, why would Dawson, as part of his, like, seance prank, cut the phone lines? But, never cut the phone lines.
Okay. So we didn't see it come to fruition, but that part of his pranking is, like, a little intense. More intense than the rubber animals and, like, the swinging things and the hanging things.
Yeah. The, like, weird dead, or the weird, like, fake head in the freezer.
Just chilling, hanging out.
Yeah. I don't think I would have enjoyed being at Dawson's seance.
No. Dawson's a weird kid. I would not have gotten along with him.
I did like that Dawson's character was a little more loose in this episode. Of course, having just seen a very, like, emo Dawson in the last episode. But, you know, like, his character was a little more loose in this episode. So it was like, oh, you're that nerdy kid, like, who...
He was downright bubbly for a
little bit. Yeah, movie. Like, he does really impressions and, like... He just loves scary things.
A question for you.
Yeah.
What have I asked you about dating and relationships so far in this podcast?
If girls enjoy people coming up to them and, like, in bars and babbling at them about their breakups.
What's the worst first date you've ever been on? And was it worse than Jen and Cliff's first
Nothing date? No one has ever taken... Well, no. No one has ever taken me to my ex-boyfriend's house without my knowledge. Like, think about that. Cliff didn't even tell her or ask her permission. It was like, so...
Thought it was going to be okay.
Yeah, he thought it would be fun. That's not fun. No, don't ever do that to a girl. Like, that's the thing. Dawson did this to Mary Beth in the last episode. He didn't tell her that they were going on this double date with Jen and Cliff.
What is wrong with the guys in Cape Side?
But that's the thing. It's like, I have never had that situation happen to me. And I hope it never happens to me.
I hope that for awkward. You too. Yeah. I've had like a my worst first date is a normal bad first date. It's just, oh, we didn't click and we just kind of awkwardly sat there eating sushi looking at our phones on occasion. It was bad, but like...
That sounds terrible.
It was not a good first date. There was no second date, so...
I think my worst first date was one that I didn't know was a date.
Oh, one count? Of those? Yeah, no, that counts. Well, I mean, did you date afterwards?
I was avoided there a second him date? Because he stalked me.
Oh, well, that's creepy.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a date I didn't realize was a date until the end. Well, it got to a point, I thought we were just hanging out. Uh-huh. And then, I'm pretty sure I told you this before, I thought we were just hanging out. And then we got to, like, oh, you want to grab dinner? Okay, sure. And then the conversation turned into a topic that was, like, he was, like, super, so he asked me where I went to college, and I told him, and so Charles and I went to the same college, which had a lot of tension between the Jewish group and the Palestinian group on campus.
Oh, no.
And we're just, he asked me where I went to college, and I said, oh, I went to this college. And he goes, that's the place with all of, like, the Muslims, right? And I was like, like, wait, what? Like, where did that come from? I was like, I don't know how to answer that. Also, like, it was a weird connection, right? Because, like, being from Palestine doesn't mean you're a Muslim. It was odd. So he just, like, kept saying all these things that made it very clear to me that he was, like, kind of a bigot.
Yeah. Oh, my God. That's so awful. Oh,
and it
no.
was in this, like, really kind of, like, nice Thai restaurant. And people were looking at us. Like, this was a restaurant that, like, was kind of quiet-ish. Like, people weren't, like, screaming in it. So, like, his voice carried.
Oh, no.
It was very, like, oh, I don't know what to say to this. Like, I kept trying to deflect and change the subject. And then as we were leaving, I was just trying to get this dinner over with. I think I ended up getting my food to go.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I'm going to jump in a cab. Bye. And he's like, oh, well, I'm heading the same direction. I'll go with you.
And oh, I was no. Like,
oh, no. So we're sitting in this cab. And then I start to realize that, like, oh, man, he thinks this is a date. Because he, like, tries to hold my hand at one point. And, like,
oh,
I, like, jumped out of this cab when it got to my stop. Because I was like, don't get near me. And then I, like, just avoided him until, like, I would start seeing him at coffee shops that I would go to. And that was, like, nowhere near his route. And he would, like, text me a bunch. And the way I got rid of him was to tell him that I had a boyfriend.
Oh, God, that's so shitty.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, I hate that guy.
Yeah, that was my worst date that I didn't realize was a date.
Well, at least it was, I don't know. I feel like that's worse than Jenna.
Yeah, I think it might have been worse, but I think that, like, Cliff's idea of a first date is still really bad.
Yeah, it is. At least he's well-meaning. I don't know. Well-meaning doesn't really count for much.
Cliff was well-intentioned, and he told her it was a date. I was not informed. This was a date. Anyways. Now you want to rate the episode?
Yeah. Now that we've come down a little bit.
Again, IMDb gave this an 8.5 out of 10. In the ratings, let me look. I think it's 8.7 was the highest. So people liked this episode a lot, I think, because, you know, the narrative was, like, well-crafted.
Yeah, and it was, like, well-produced.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's I can see this being just a memorable episode from the season overall, just because it's so different from the other episodes.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it's very different.
I would give this episode a 6.
6 out of 10?
Yeah. And, like, I had fun in this episode, but I don't love it. And, honestly, there was no plot movement. It just felt so plug and play that, like, if they just got rid of this episode, I wouldn't miss it.
Yeah.
I just want more Pacey and Joey. Where are they going? That's what I want.
Well, we'll find out in the next episode. I take it back. IMDb's highest rating of season 1 is 8.6, which is the finale.
Oh, interesting.
So 8.5 is, like, one of the higher ones. It's what Detention got.
Okay. I like Detention much more than I like this episode.
Yeah, I think it's these kind of, like, not really, like, bottle-y episodes that are, like, Detention, The Scare.
But it's, like, the standout, like, unique episodes where they break format a little bit.
Yeah. I would give this episode a 10 out of 13.
Oh, my God.
I give it, like, a 7 out of 10, I think.
I'm still annoyed about what you just did.
Because, you know, Friday the 13th. 7 out of 10 is a to go out of 10 rating. I liked the way that the story was told, even if it scared me. I thought it was fun. Like, I thought that Dawson didn't do anything particularly obnoxious this episode.
Yeah.
So I was pleased about that. Yeah.
That's true.
I mean, my...
I didn't hate Dawson this episode.
Yeah. I didn't either.
Progress.
Progress indeed. Yeah, so 7 out of 10. Not my favorite episode, but not my least favorite episode.
Okay.
So the next episode is episode 12, which is Beauty Contest. What do you think Beauty Contest is about?
Not a beauty contest.
Really?
Like cleaning up the creek. I don't know. It's probably about a beauty contest. I saw the like snippet from Freeform about what this episode is. Some people are in a beauty contest. I don't remember who it is. Is it Joey and Jen?
This is the episode where you finally learn where that screen cap of Pacey with face paint is from.
Oh, that's a lot earlier in this show than I thought it was going to be.
It's episode 12.
Nice.
Yeah.
Is Pacey in the beauty contest?
You'll find out. You'll find out what this episode is about when we watch it.
Is this the episode where Joey takes off her glasses and everyone realizes how beautiful she is?
You'll get to it.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So that's coming up.
Before we close out.
Yeah.
I've gotten a few words that I mispronounce from Mr. Brian Latimer.
Our former colleague and friend who came up with the name of Dawson Speak.
Briskwalk, at Briskwalk on Twitter. Kasich is on there, Cassage. Respite. Do I pronounce respite wrong?
It's respite.
It's respite? No, it's respite.
No.
Oh my
it's
god.
It's respite. R-E-S-P-I-T-E?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's respite.
Oh my god. Why didn't you ever tell me this? And then... this is fundamentally world-changing for me.
I've never heard you say the word, though.
How?
Or maybe
how
I have.
Did Brian know?
Or maybe you mainly just typed it to me. I've never heard you say it, though. Like, in what context would you have said it?
I don't know, but Brian knew, and he was right.
It's respite, yeah.
The last one is Pidgeot, the Pokemon name. Which I feel doesn't count, and I'm pretty sure it's pronounced Pidgeot, not Pidgeot.
It's Pidgeot, yeah.
Yeah.
Like Pidgey, Pidgeot.
Yeah. Come on, Brian. I can pronounce my Pokemon names correctly. Respite.
Like to provide some respite, like some rest.
Why isn't it like respite, like respect?
It's just not.
I hate English so much.
English is hard. It's okay.
Yeah.
But we're going to end this episode now to give you some respite from having to pronounce these words. If you want to tweet us your thoughts about the scare or about Friday the 13th in general, let us know if you celebrate it the way Dawson does. You can tweet us or follow us on Facebook at Dawson Speak Pod. You can email us, of course, at DawsonSpeakPod@gmail.com. And you can also find us wherever you listen to podcasts. So, yeah.
Bye.
Okay, bye.
Cabernet Sauvignon, my favorite.